Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com. Let's go now to Nancy, who's listening in Pennsylvania. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. My question was that Catholics believe that faith is needed for salvation.
But absolutely.
And they say they need to do other things in addition to faith. And so I was reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and it says, after Jesus, you know, he says, I come to do your will. Mm-hmm. And then he said, and by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Mm-hmm.
Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins.
Right.
But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he's made perfect forever those who are being made holy.
Exactly.
So,
That's good, solid Catholic theology right there. That's straight out of the heart of the Catholic Church. Awesome.
Then why do you say that there is more needed for salvation than faith?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to go to the question of the Mass. Let's take that up.
Even mm-hmm. the Mass would be a repeating of
it's not.
Wouldn't it?
No, it's not. And this is a good question. I'm really glad you're raising it, because I think a lot of people may wonder about this. So when you take the Epistle to the Hebrews, you know, chapters 8 and 9 and 10, you see this phrase repeated many times, which is once for all. So Christ, our high priest, he offered this sacrifice once for all. It cannot be repeated. His priesthood is eternal. So this is something that happened historically once in time, and it cannot be repeated, period, ever. So you may say, well, then what about the Mass? Well, the key here is to understand that from the very beginning, from the very first Mass, which Jesus celebrated at the Last Supper, it is the same once-for-all sacrifice that Christ offered to the Father on the cross that is being presented, or you might say represented, to us in time and space. When you go to Mass, you are present at that once-and-for-all sacrifice. It's not a new sacrifice. It's not a repeat of the sacrifice. It's an unbloody presentation to you of that once-for-all sacrifice, meaning that you don't see the blood and the gore that came from the wounds of Jesus Christ on the cross, but it is that once-for-all same sacrifice that you participate in. So when you go to Mass, Nancy, you are present at the Last Supper, mystically speaking. You're present at Calvary, standing at the foot of the cross with the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John and the others. And you're also in the heavenly sanctuary participating in the culmination of this sacrifice. And here's the other thing to notice. In Hebrews, as you pointed out, it refers to Jesus as being our high priest who made the sacrifice once for all, and it can never be repeated. But you'll notice it says that his priesthood is eternal. What does that mean exactly? His priesthood is eternal. Well, what that means is that the office of priest, the function of priest, is perpetual. And what does a priest do? The priest offers sacrifice, and then he presents the sacrifice before the throne of God. This is what the Old Testament priests were doing to no avail, because the sacrifice of bulls and goats and all the other animals that were sacrificed could not accomplish anything. Those were just symbolic. There was no actual effect from their shedding of blood. In the case of Jesus, he is not only the priest, he's also the victim. He is the sacrifice. As St. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. So it's the Lamb of God who is slain for our salvation on the cross. This is why Jesus fulfills that type of the Lamb, that unblemished Lamb that was sacrificed on the night of the first Passover, when Moses led the people out of slavery in Egypt, and the blood of that lamb was placed on the doorposts and the lintels of the home so that the angel of death would cross over. Well, that was just a symbol pointing to Jesus and his death on the cross. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So when in heaven, in the heavenly sanctuary, and flip open your book of Revelation and you'll see glimpses of this. Jesus is eternally presenting himself as our sacrifice to the Father. And it's a perpetual sacrifice, meaning that Jesus' priesthood is not, it's not like, okay, yeah, a long time ago I was a priest, and a long time ago I offered a sacrifice, and a long time ago I presented the sacrifice, but that's all done now. No, his priesthood is eternal, which means that the sacrifice is eternally being presented to the Father on our behalf, and when we get to heaven, we will be present in glory as Jesus, our high priest, is doing this. Now, in the meantime, don't forget, Jesus himself said to the apostles when they were at the Last Supper, he said, do this. What? When he took bread in his hand, says, this is my body. And he took the chalice of wine and said, this is my blood. He says, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And he said it in the form of a command. He said, do this. And so from that very first Mass, the church has always been celebrating Mass after the command of Jesus, our high priest, and always recognizing that it's the one same sacrifice, not a separate sacrifice, nothing different, nothing repeated. It's that one sacrifice.
Faith and that sacrifice was all that was needed for salvation.
And that's exactly correct. And that's why when you go to Mass, Nancy, you're participating in that sacrifice that's needed for salvation. Now, I suspect you would like to get into the question of what about other things?
You don't have to repeat.
Hey, Nancy, why don't we have a conversation? So why don't you hold, and when we come back, I'll be happy to take up the rest of the questions that you have about other things that need to be done as well. Sound good?
Sounds fine.
Now, just to recap for people who might be tuning in, you asked about where it says in Hebrews about the sacrifice of Christ is once for all, and we talked about that. And I think you had more you wanted to ask with regard to other things. I think that's how you put it. So what would you like to talk about?
That's kind of how you put it. That's how I put it. But it just said that when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, then he sat down in his Father's right hand. And then it just goes on to say that where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sins. So our salvation is only through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And our faith in that sacrifice. So it's not necessary to keep repeating like the priests of the Old Testament did, repeating sacrifices, or the sacrifice of the Mass. Jesus did
right.
it once for
That's
all
correct.
Time.
Yeah, you're actually preaching Catholic theology. Well done.
Okay, good. Then we know that there's only one thing needed for salvation, and that's
you,
faith.
Nancy,
and
it seems like you have a misconception here, that maybe you think the Catholic Church teaches something that it has never taught. That we have to repeat that sacrifice.
So then it's not.
Is that what you think? I mean, is that your impression?
The Mass could be repeated over and over every day, thousands of times that people may attend it in their lifetime, when there was only one sacrifice for sin.
Hey, Nancy, I don't know if you're listening to me. I keep telling you that's exactly what the Catholic Church teaches. But remember, too, that Jesus commanded.
But that's not what you do.
Nancy, please listen. Remember that Jesus said at the Last Supper, do this. He told the apostles to do that. And the apostles did that. And you know how you can tell? Because if you go back to the writings of the early church fathers, the earliest church fathers, you will see them referring to the fact that they did do exactly that. They made that celebration with the bread and the wine exactly as Jesus told them to do from the very beginning.
It's something that you do, but it's not necessary for salvation.
Nancy?
It's something that you do.
Nancy, Jesus said to do that. And Jesus said, this is the sacrifice. This is the covenant of my blood that will be poured out for you and for many. So I know that maybe, or at least I think that maybe, you don't want to accept what I'm telling you, that the Catholic Church teaches that it's the once for all sacrifice of Christ. It's not a new sacrifice. It's not a repeat of a sacrifice. It's that one sacrifice. And Jesus himself commanded that the Mass, which is the presentation of that sacrifice, be repeated over and over and over again. He's the one who commanded it. So if you don't like that part, then your argument is really with him.
No,
because he's the one that commanded that.
My argument is about salvation and what is needed for salvation. And it's just faith in that sacrifice.
Well, but Nancy, I don't know why you won't hear what I'm saying. That's exactly what the Catholic Church teaches.
Mass. Then there is no need to keep repeating the sacrifice.
But if Jesus commanded us to do this, are you saying that you know better than him?
No, I'm saying that we do what Jesus commanded, but we don't repeat his sacrifice over and over again. We do have communion in remembrance of the sacrifice.
But Nancy, who are you arguing against? It's certainly not the Catholic Church. It's almost as though you want to insist. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure why you would keep saying that when I've already told you. That's not what the Catholic Church teaches.
So then you're saying that you do agree that only faith is needed for salvation.
No, the Bible doesn't say that.
Isn't that what it's saying here in Hebrews?
No, that it's not what it's saying. Let's take a look at what it does say. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, really clear. Listen, this is verse 8.
Hebrews chapter 10 that we're talking about.
We'll come back to that. But listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you, it is the gift of God, it is not from works, so right. No one may boast. For we are his handiwork, right, created in Christ Jesus for the good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. So we are saved by grace through faith. You're not saved by faith alone. In fact, if you go to James chapter 2. No, Nancy, you're not saved by faith alone. You're saved by grace alone, and you appropriate that grace through faith, as it says here in Ephesians 2. And the grace is a gift, and the faith is a gift, because God's grace enables you to have that saving faith, and it also leads you to do good works. So St. James says in James chapter 2, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Justification is part of the bigger question of salvation. So,
right,
when
we
you
have
think,
a living faith, not a dead faith.
Exactly.
The faith, though, that gives us ever that we get salvation from.
No, but you're not saved by faith alone. That's not what the Bible says.
Faith in the sacrifice of Jesus is what saves us.
Exactly.
Sacrifice is what saves us. So.
Exactly. So well, you sound like a good Catholic, Nancy. I guess we'll leave it at that. But thank you.
For more of the Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com.